Twin Cities Real Estate Show with the House Geek, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. I'm Kirk Duckwall. Joining me is Chad Vandelot and Kayla Gustafson. We are the House Geeks. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Or check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com. Make sure you follow us on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks. Look for the little house with the glasses where you'll see upcoming classes, videos, funny photos, all sorts of great real estate information there. Talking about classes, we do have an upcoming class January 20th at Bloomington City Hall at 10:30. If you go to our Facebook page, you can register there to join us. And it's a great class to attend. Actually goes right along with our topic. So today we're talking about flipping for profit. All right. So that class, it's going to be about the tools and tactics and techniques when buying a home, which transitions right into this discussion. This is a topic that I have kind of avoided for about 6 years in bringing to air. And part of it is that I have found that yes, we receive, I mean, I countless calls a year of people who want to get into flipping homes for profit, but then find that they're very resistant in learning how to actually do it. And I think I see this out in the marketplace, as these are probably the people that are the 3 out of 4 bad flips that we go through as realtors. You know, this is the one-shot person who does it. They do it their way and not willing to listen to professionals' advice who have been in this industry and maybe may have done it. As you announced in our Facebook open, Chad, that, you know, I've done some homes flipping for profit, and you as well, Kayla. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the experience that is gained from the successes and probably even more so from the failures is mm-hmm. just invaluable.
Yes.
And I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for people who don't want to be open to listening to those experiences. So when we were discussing, did we want to do the show? I was like, ooh, I don't know. And then I thought, you know, I'm like, you know what? Why not run through the pros and cons and bring some of that experience of what we've had? So, you know, people that may be looking at this as a potential option can have a better idea of if they really want to do this, and if so, how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you turn on the TV, and even more so now, I remember growing up as a kid, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you had, you know, late night filled with flipping homes to make money and some program that you'd buy where you'd get, you know, 6 VHS sets and whatnot. And the guys, you know, sitting down by, you know, by their yacht and mm-hmm. the home that they flipped and made $30,000, you know, for, mm-hmm. for zero down.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you this much. Maybe it is being done, and I've heard of ways that it could be done, but I have yet to seen the deal that falls into somebody's lap without really any legwork, that's just the deal of the century, and then they buy it zero down, and they didn't have to do any work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had somebody else do it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that. Was never my experience flipping, you know, at all.
If I had that experience, that is what I would be doing full time, because helping other people buy and sell homes is a lot harder than what you just described.
Yes. Yeah. What has your experience been, Kayla?
mine has been, yeah. You know, I think it's really easy to, HGTV has made an entire, you know, has made tons of money off the idea and of flipping and of, you know, showing that, yeah, you might, you know, have a couple difficulties, but it all turns out in the end and people make money. Well, I think what's more realistic is
that... In a half hour.
Yes. Yes. What's more realistic is
that... And they looked at 3 houses, right?
Exactly. Right. There's so much more to that process than they show you. You know, and so really delving into... That's why I kind of pushed Kirk to do this show, because I think there's more to... There's more to it than meets the eye and than a lot of people know. And when you're starting to vet whether you think you'd like to do this or not, you really should be asking a lot of different questions that you wouldn't even think of if you're watching all of these shows. It's really easy to think that, yay, I'm going to be the designer and I'm going to pick the house colors and I'm going to do all of this fun stuff and it won't cost that much and it won't be, you know, that bad. In reality, you're pulling out hair and, you know, buying all the Tums you can get because you're so concerned about it. And that's the reality of flipping. So if that's not something that, you know, is possible, even the best plan will make you second guess yourself. You will question the budget. Things will pop up. You have to problem solve. More my experience has been in line with that. So it's not a free ride by any stretch of the imagination. So,
yeah, I know we were discussing, does it make more sense to do some of the work yourself so that, you know, the cost versus time and those things, you know. There's going to be work. Whatever that work might be, it's going to take time. It's a big investment. I mean, it's more than likely at least $100,000.
Right.
You know, and probably closer to 175, right, on your first one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and for a lot of people, you know, up to that point, their house has been their biggest purchase, and now they're playing with that much money in one shot. This isn't the market going up a few percent in a year with $50,000. You know, you're talking some serious money.
And a timeline attached to that.
Right.
You know, the stakes are different.
And you can lose it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could lose it all.
I know that experience on a flipper, too.
Right.
No, I'm actually want to talk about that later because I just went through one that somebody else had done, and they lost like $25,000-$30,000 in one shot for poor analysis of the property. So, you know, there is a lot of risk there. You know, I think one of the first things is to, you know, we talked last week about, what was it, renting your house, right?
Yep.
And the first thing we said was, you got to have a plan, okay? And if you think that plan is hopping online and finding the foreclosure on Zillow, that's not where you want to start your plan, okay? You need to step back and put a lot of pieces together ahead of time. You know, put together what is your budget? You know, how are you going to do this? We're going to get to financing in a little bit, but, you know, how much money do you have ready to utilize for a down payment if you're doing financing or if you're doing a cash purchase? Then what is your expected renovation costs that you can tolerate? Because that's going to set the parameters of the types of properties you should be looking for.
Right.
You know, flipping a, you know, $150,000 home that's a, you know, carpet, kitchen, paint, maybe a furnace is different than a house that had fire damage, you know, or something that had all the copper ripped out of it, or, you know, mold issues in the basement. It's a different thing. So you need to prepare for what are your tolerances in the budget.
I got a funny story about budget and tolerances. I know a real estate photographer, and he went to go shoot a house, and the ceiling light, or where the ceiling light should be, there were wires hanging down, and he called the agent up and said, you know, I don't think this is ready to shoot. There's a couple lights that are missing. And the agent simply said, yeah, I was flipping this property. I have no more money. You know, so they ran out of their budget. And so you need to be very careful when you're evaluating these homes. And
Well, and that mistake right there, from what I've seen, is, you know, close to a 25% mistake that that if the house is not ready to go, even if you're close, you're probably going to miss out on 25% of the potential sale price, or, you know, the ones that I have experienced.
Oh, sure.
You know, because, yeah, you still need to put in the lights, still need to paint the walls, you still need to put in the bathroom or whatever it might be. There could be a lot missing, and, you know. But yeah, just very little things left. We've talked about that in the show over and over again, that you have to have those finishing touches to make it shine before you sell. So let's see. Work expectations, workload expectations when you're putting together this plan. That I think, you know, we talked about right away, the, you know, oh, it's going to be easy. I'll just buy the house. I'll get my guys to go out there and they'll do it. well, what is your schedule? You know, do you have kids that have things going on in the evenings? Do you have other time commitments? Are you traveling a lot for work, whatever it might be? Are you going to be out of state? Are you trying to do this from a distance? I mean, that's a call that I actually just got into earlier today and said, well, you know, flipping from a distance can be very, very hard. You need boots on the ground here.
Yes.
You know, whether that's a business partner or whatnot, you got to be checking up on this all the time. It doesn't just tend to fix itself.
Especially when you're talking about, there's a lot of workload that I think people don't fully grasp how much is there for just the project management of it. You know, like the design choices, the managing the subcontractors, if that's what you're doing, even if you're farming all the work out, you are still in control of the entire plan and the budget. And to think that you're going to put a plan in place and it's going to go perfectly well is not what's going to happen. So, I mean, I remember there, most of my time was spent tweaking the plan, looking at the numbers, making sure that everything was right, and like a continual decision making on top of just having boots on the ground and making sure that what I said needed to happen actually happened the way I wanted it to. That I think people underclub that.
Well, I mean, a prime example, how often have you ordered something, anybody who's out there, how often have you ordered something from a big box store? They tell you it's going to be there on X day, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the world of flipping, that's your tile that you're waiting for.
Yep.
The tile is supposed to go in. The tile has to go in before the kitchen goes in, right? But the kitchen contractors are lined up 2 days after that.
Yep.
There's the delay in that one item, and it causes the whole thing. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Heirloom Kitchen and Bar is your every occasion restaurant, providing uncommonly good farmhouse cuisine in a neighborhood setting. Heirloom's current menu highlights include cider glazed pork jowl with crab apple puree, smoked potato and Brussels sprouts, and cauliflower cheddar soup with chow chow and milkweed capers. And why not order something off of Heirloom's sustainable organic wine list? Heirloom Kitchen and Bar is located off Creighton and Marshall Avenue and online at heirloomstpaul.com. Heirloom St. Paul. Food matters.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make. So keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Hi, this is Norman Goldman from my favorite Minneapolis furniture store, Habitation Furnishing and Design. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy your home? Does your furniture make you comfortable? Are you proud to have guests over? With the long winter months shutting us all in and the holidays fast approaching, I encourage you to visit Habitation St. Louis Park Showroom to see what potential awaits. Let Habitation help you craft a space that makes your home the place to be this holiday season. Check them out at HabitationDesign.com. Tell them Norman Goldman sent you.
Is it time to downsize, but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388. 5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show with the House Geeks. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com. Today we're talking about flipping for profit. And some of the positives and negatives, the pitfalls people don't necessarily think about. Just the general planning, what you want to keep in mind if you're going to go down this path. Please, if you're just joining us right now, look up the show online so you can catch the beginning section. As you know, this is a all-encompassing show. Won't quite all work together if you don't listen to it fully. All right, so talking left off with the planning, workload expectations, you know, what is the return that you're looking for? I hear many different models on this. I know my tolerance basically is looking to get 12 to 14% at a minimum. And how you get to that 12 to 14% depends on who you, like, some people add in, well, what was my down payment to acquire the property? You brought up a great point how you said that, Kayla, that if you don't count that piece of pie, because if you purchase it wisely, you should be able to sell it for exactly what you bought it for.
Right.
Right.
So I'm looking at it in terms of a worst case scenario, I will net no profit always. And I think that brings up a good point that my methodology is I don't want to ever be in a position where I have to buy something or I'm purchasing outside of my methodology. So I specifically look for properties where they're, you know, under value. And I know even if I don't touch it or something bad happens, I can put that back on the market and net neutral.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about and get in towards the end, you know, the expectations for that first flip. And, you know,
right.
if you can net neutral on your first one, that's not too shabby.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Okay, putting together the team. You know, this is one where I've run into resistance, but it's really funny because when I look at some of the best teams, flippers that I've worked with, they have teams, right? It's the one who, it's the person who's trying to do it all themselves and save every last penny. They're actually losing money. You know, I'll sit there and it's like, you know, because you're not doing it this way, it's taking you X amount longer to get the property done. Yeah, you save this money, but you could have made, it was kind of like the example we used last week for the renting property. You know, there are better ways to do it. Yeah, you can do it and limp along, but you know, if you can turn four houses a year for $15,000 each versus two, you know, where you're getting $7,000, you know, because but you're doing it yourself, there's, you know, the numbers don't line up.
Right.
So putting together a team, I think, is very, very important. So what is that team? Well, let's start off, especially if you're just getting into this, getting into real estate in general. Finding an agent that has experience with flipping houses for a profit and knows that.
Yeah.
And not only knows how to buy them, but then how to sell them and pass along that market knowledge. And you'd go, well, why would an agent give that up? Well, I'll tell you why. Because, man, I didn't like working on houses myself. You know, no, I love doing like the advisory role. And
sure.
There's other agents out there that like that, right? I like helping with the, you know, the acquisition and looking at it and talking about what can be done to maximize the profit. But I didn't like that project management piece of it,
sure.
You know? So, and you know, you got to find what works for you.
Right.
So, you know, finding an agent that has that experience, that can provide that insight, provide what neighborhoods you might want to be looking in that are going to have the good return. And then somebody who has that experience of doing really high quality listings, you know, with the photographers, the stagers, everything that you're going to need to maximize that sale price, along with whether it's your contractors or usually if this agent flipper, they may have a group of contractors as well that they would recommend to put together. So, you know, agents, contractors, and then the financiers of the process, unless you're going to sell finance. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the team is very important. And going back to that agent piece, is so often people, once again, they'll skip that agent piece of the pie or try to go around it, not realizing the value that it adds.
If you find the right one,
that's the key, right? There's lots of agents that they may not be able to provide that insight and value to get you those percentages. Mm-hmm. But I, at the end of the day, would gladly pay somebody a 2.7%, 2.5% commission out of that purchase side, and same for the 2.7 to 3, whatever it might be on the sales side, if they're going to get me, 6 to 10 or more. Percent return on the price per square foot just by the quality of the marketing. We're not even talking about the house, but what they're doing and then the insight that they're providing. Can they walk into a house and give you some general ideas of what the costs would be to get it ready and then what the return is going to be when you go to sell it? Mm-hmm. Because you need those numbers and you need them quick.
Mm-hmm. And not every agent can do that.
No.
I'll be the first to admit that if I take out a client for the first time, and they're looking at fixer-uppers, and then the conversation comes up that they're considering doing their first flip, and we walk through the door, and they ask me how much would it cost to rehab this home, and that's their question. My first instinct is, you're talking to the wrong person. I should really have you meet my business partner, Kirk Duckwall, because he's actually done a couple of these, and he's struggled through a couple, and he's done some successfully. He knows what to do and what not to do, and I absolutely know my limitations there. And it does take a rare agent who has those skills, who can look at a property, come up with a realistic expectation of a cost associated with efficiently updating a house to maximize return on your investment.
Mm-hmm. And also, can they perform the market analysis for the end state that'll help you have a ballpark for what you're shooting for? Because I think, when I was doing it, that was the most important thing to me, was figuring out what price point am I targeting, and then who are my buyers and what are my buyers in that price range looking for, which then determines what projects you should be doing and at what trim level. So getting an agent that really knows their numbers, mm-hmm. whether it's, they also have some ability to tell you about construction costs, or if it's just, being able to do a good market analysis, getting somebody who knows what they're talking about is key.
Now I feel like I should throw up like a 1-800 number and say they only have a minute and 30 seconds to retain me or something. But thanks for the infomercial, guys. When we come back, I want to really get into more, step away from the agent stuff a little bit, get into the financing, where to search for the properties, and then, the risks of some of those websites where you can find foreclosures that might be in redemption and things like that, as well as getting into some of the things you might want to set for your first property as far as price point and things to avoid, like resale objections. This is one we talk about a lot with just buyers in general, but mm-hmm. so much more so with somebody, because you don't know who that buyer is going to be. So you mm-hmm. want to make sure you don't limit yourself too much with the property that you're picking up. If you have any questions for us, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online as well at housegeeks.com and follow us on our Facebook page. Just type in housegeeks for that little house and glasses. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
This is Ken Hagland of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our brand new show, airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. The Minnesota Hospice Show looks forward to discussing how we honor life and to exploring the physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional issues we experience throughout all stages of life. Learn how hospice is the new face of hope and how it's your benefit, your choice. Join us Saturdays at noon and check us out online at minnesotahospice.com.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
This is Bill McLeslie, owner of IP House in Minneapolis. I started IP House with the mission of making technology simple again. Over the last 10 years, my team has helped hundreds of businesses with their technology. We provide on-site support and technical strategy for businesses just like yours. If your technology has you feeling on edge, call us. We take the mystery out of technology and make things simple again. IP House, supporting businesses just like yours every day. 612-337-6337.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
Your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near negative 5, wind chills as low as negative 27. Tonight will be mostly clear with lows around negative 15 and wind chills as low as negative 29. Monday will be sunny with a high of 2. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants, featuring high-quality food and unique eating experiences. Restaurants such as Cafe Latte, The Great Wall, Mildes Cafe, and Nightingale. A full list of restaurants can be found at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show on AM 950 with the House Geeks. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. Give us a call anytime with any of your real estate questions at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Today we're talking about flipping homes for profit. So wanted to dive into the financing piece of this. Quite often, especially for the very novice investors, they look at it, I'm going to get traditional financing to pick up this house I'm going to flip. Well, the problem is financing restrictions. We've talked about this before on some of the buyer shows. But, you know, if that home, you know, has mold problems, it is missing mechanicals or has non-functioning mechanicals, and a whole laundry list of other things that may disqualify it, you might not be able to get traditional financing. And we'll get into how this may affect where you will find these properties in a second. So then it kind of comes to personal financing. This is probably the one we hear, you know, more about, that I have the money, I'm just looking to do this as my mm-hmm. first time. You know, obviously it's personal money and there's more risk there, mm-hmm. you know? So you do have that, that comes into play. You may be a little more limited on your budgeting and your flexibility as well, depending mm-hmm. on what you have versus, let's say, the final option, which might be a hard money lender right. that specializes in doing, flipping for profit financing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to look and I'll tell you, I remember my meetings with the hard money lenders, and one of the first things they talked about is, who is your team? Mm-hmm. Who do you have? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your experience? What's your plan?
Right.
All right. So you better know this stuff if you're going to go this route and put together those people. You have recently, and it's been so long since I've done the hard money stuff,
sure.
you know, what are you seeing as far as the accessibility of those funds?
They're absolutely accessible. I think it's more typical that people will say, oh, I'm going to borrow from my home equity line of credit, or I'm going to pull from my 401k, and we're going to do it personally. I did it personally, the last one that we did, just because I have more flexibility that way. But you really, I think it benefits you to talk to multiple different lenders to see what your options are, because hard money lending is a really interesting way of doing it, especially if you have kind of, if maybe it's not your first one or you have a very well-developed plan. You know, they're lending based on the property and based on the ARV, which is the after rehab value of the property. So you're not having to say, you know, I have all this money in the bank and here's my plan, in the same way with a hard money lender. So it opens you up a little bit to potentially, you know, being able to afford something different, being able to afford faster than you might be able to, you know, growing your personal funds. And you're not at such a, you're not so over leveraged personally.
It goes back to that risk.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Nobody wants the foreclosure, but it's still a risk thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So you got to,
you know, and if you don't like risk, this is the wrong. This is
and
the
usually
wrong
the hard money lenders, I mean, they're only going to break a hand or something if you, you know.
Right.
Going
I mean, it's usually pretty easy. You can.
Okay. So yes, there's multiple ways you can do it. If you have questions about the, you know, how do you go about doing it, hard money, and putting together these plans, you know, feel free. Once again, you can reach out to us. We're happy to help answer those questions. Let's get into finding these properties, you know, and I think I remember it's like, oh, where do I get the list? Mm-hmm. You know, this list of foreclosures. Mm-hmm.
The magical list,
right? How do I go to Wells Fargo and find out what's coming up so I can just offer them money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is a list of foreclosures, but you're not going to be able to offer the money just directly. Mm-hmm. That's just not the way it works, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of these banks have fair market value policies as to, you know, the people that hold the insurance basically say you have to put this out there to the public. And the only times that I see it otherwise is bulk sales,
mm-hmm.
you know, a bank offloading quite a few properties to, you know, another investor. But, you know, usually it's going to come out on MLS mm-hmm. or it's going to come out through an auction site.
Yep.
And, you know, when you see these foreclosure properties, and one of the biggest sites where we get the calls that come from is the Big Z, the Zillow, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they see the foreclosures on there. And what does that actually mean? What you're seeing on Zillow are not usually foreclosure listings, but yet foreclosure data that's being fed from the county website as to where it is or where it was in the foreclosure process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you're going to see pre-foreclosure auction, mm-hmm. or foreclosure mm-hmm. on there. If that process stopped at any point, it's going to just stay there mm-hmm. as that. So you could have a pre-foreclosure from 2009 when somebody fell behind and then they caught up on their payments mm-hmm. and it's still just going to show up as a pre-foreclosure.
Right.
A good rule of thumb is if it's been on there for 1,000 days or 12,000 days, it's probably historical data mm-hmm. where exactly what Kirk had just described.
Right. It's just, it's not the ideal place to look for foreclosure.
Well, and it's how you use it.
Sure.
Right.
So yep, that's a fair point.
If you go to personally, it's the pre-foreclosure ones that interest me the most. Now, there's a much easier way. Going back to the value of your agent, I can go in and with some of the tools that I have, I can run and pull an instant list of everything that's actually in pre-foreclosure right now
mm-hmm.
or stuff that shadow inventory that the bank has.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean we're necessarily going to be able to access it to do showings and put offers in? No, but I can pull that list.
Mm-hmm.
And so we at least know what might be coming up, what to keep an eye out for, maybe who we could reach out to potentially if postings start to happen on the property.
Right.
But you can do it. It's just a little more painstaking through Zillow because if you click in and then click in on foreclosure details and then read when this action took place and then click on the county information and pull up who is the owner.
Mm-hmm.
If the owner's the bank, that means you got a property that's in shadow inventory, basically,
right.
something that's
mm-hmm.
going to be coming up.
Right.
If it's owned by a homeowner, well, either it hasn't gone to sheriff sale yet or it's done. You know, and like you say, if it's 1,000 days old and it's got somebody
right.
listed as the owner, that's not going to come up. So the way the foreclosure process works in Minnesota is if somebody goes into default, usually they'll receive a notice of default 90 days after the missed payments, and they're going to start saying a sheriff sale is going to take place if you don't pay up. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have this notice of sale that's going to be delivered, typically 90 days prior to the sale, so mm-hmm. you're going to get them pretty quick. And the sheriff's sale is not really a place where you're usually going to go buy the property, because this is an administrative process for the bank to take back the note mm-hmm. And take back the property to start the redemption period of time, because the amount that's owed is going to be what it's sold for. And usually the amount that's owed is more than what the property is worth. Right. Otherwise, they would have sold it traditionally, right?
Exactly.
Right. So, once the sheriff sale takes place, it goes into redemption. That is a six-month period of time that the person can, you know, fully settle up mm-hmm. and redeem, which we do see, mm-hmm. Or the bank does take possession back and will take the property. But it's only upon that time, usually that once it, the bank has taken it and lists it or puts it out for sale, that you can then go see it and make offers on it. However, there is an exception to this, and that's some of these websites, Xome, X-O-M-E, Realty Bid, Hubzoo. Well, not so much Hubzoo. They're typically post-redemption. Mm-hmm. But some of these sites will sell it during the redemption time. Here's the kicker. You're making an offer on a property you can't set up a showing on that mm-hmm. may still have people living in it mm-hmm. that you then, and I've read these contracts, are responsible for removing these people once redemption is up.
Yes.
That's a lot of risk mm-hmm. to take. You know, I had an investor client. I basically said, you know, if it was me, I'd back out. He did. He mm-hmm. he backed out. The people were still there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it was a lot of risk. So I typically will, you know, try to find properties that are post-redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to these websites, why is it on the auction site, not website, auction site? Why is it on the auction site?
So they're trying to market it, but they're also trying to market it. They're trying to create bidding wars. They're trying to get it up higher, but then they're also trying to have you come without an agent a lot of the time because they're open to the public.
Well, they have that. Okay, so a lot of the times, and this isn't every time, but a lot of times the reason they make it to these auction sites is because they're in such bad conditional shape that the only buyers are cash buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And where a majority of the buyers typically on the MLS are going to be finance buyers.
And they're typically as-is sales.
Yes.
And a lot of them are like Category 2 properties or vacant properties that need a lot more attention to bringing them up to code.
Right.
As well.
Well, you mentioned Category 2 mm-hmm. And Category 1, and these are different, depending on the city that you're in, these are different categories they place the properties in, as far as in what kind of condition is this property actually in.
Right.
And can set the precedence for what you have to do to it.
Yes.
Do you want to dive into a little bit about what the
I've looked at a number of Category 2 properties with different investors that I've had and kind of worked through the process with that. But basically what it is the city has identified that the property is in such bad condition that they've put it on a list. And for you to be able to actually inhabit and get a certificate of occupancy again, you have to have a city inspector come in, tell you everything that's not up to code with the property, and then you have to certify that you have the funds and the plan to fix all of those, regardless of what your flip plan is, in order to even be able to sell that, to buy it, and then also to sell it. So,
A quick clarification, does that work need to be done by certified contractors
licensed
with license?
Contractors, yes. So it's not one of those, we can come in, and the bids have to be done. You have to have a licensed contractor come in and do the bids, and then you have to supply the bids for all of the work orders, and then you have to also supply proof of funds to be able to do all of that work, because what they don't want to do is sell the property and then have it still continue to be minimum code, you know, and slap a little paint on it and then it's dangerous. So, you know, those are a whole nother can of worms in terms of, you know, certainly risk, well, but also funds.
The nice thing is when you're looking out there, city of Minneapolis and city of St. Paul, you can pull these CAT reports,
yes,
and see where it is. Or you can And you can pull, you know, what permits have been pulled on that home. And you can truth and sale reports. All this is available to you. And so you want to utilize these sites as you are searching these homes to get a good idea of, you know, what is it you're actually jumping into. Because it's very easy to fall into the, oh my gosh, it's $90,000 on Hubzu. Oh wait, it's a category three and it's got a laundry list that's $150,000 long. And, you know,
if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Right. That, well, as we said right away, that amazing deal, you know, yeah, you might come across a couple of them in a lifetime, you know, but, you know, it's really setting the expectations as far as realistic margins. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, get back into what kind of houses might you want to look for as for that first flip. We'll be right back.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Hi, this is Norman Goldman from my favorite Minneapolis furniture store, Habitation Furnishing and Design. Let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy your home? Does your furniture make you comfortable? Are you proud to have guests over? With the long winter months shutting us all in and the holidays fast approaching, I encourage you to visit Habitation St. Louis Park Showroom to see what potential awaits. Let Habitation help you craft a space that makes your home the place to be this holiday season. Check them out at HabitationDesign.com. Tell them Norman Goldman sent you.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, what's next? Death and the afterlife.
What's next? Nothing. Zero. Zilch.
Well, you sound pretty confident, Ken. Why are you so sure there's no afterlife?
Because it's not compatible with a scientific worldview.
Well, maybe the scientific worldview is wrong.
Death and the afterlife, next time on Philosophy Talk.
Catch Philosophy Talk every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. on AM 950.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee. I'm taking a few days off, but never fear, we still have a great show for you at 4 p.m. Ellie Krug will be filling in for me. You know her as the voice of Hidden Edges Radio, which you can hear on the weekends on AM 950. Ellie will have great guests, the latest news, and we'll be taking your calls from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So listen in to the Mike McEntee Show with guest host Ellie Krug at 4 p.m. on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall from the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. As many of you may know, home values are up for the fifth straight year in our area. Are you now thinking about selling and curious what your home is worth in today's seller's market? Then check out HouseGeeks.com. At HouseGeeks.com, you will find the best free home evaluation tools in the Twin Cities. You will also find many other great resources for tracking our market or just your local neighborhood. Again, that is at HouseGeeks.com.
Tuned in to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show with the House Geeks. If you have any questions for us after the show, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Today we're talking about flipping for profit and some of the things to be aware of, some of the misnomers that are out there, and how to do this hopefully successfully if you're going to get into this. And, you know, it tends to be after I have this conversation with people, they tend to step back a little bit and take a breath, which is really what
that's
you want,
okay. Yeah.
Right? To put together that plan. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, like I said, I can't even count how many conversations that I have a year of people that are going to go down the investing route or, you know, purchasing for profit, whatever, renting, flipping. But the number of people that actually move forward with it, you know, it's very minimal because there is a lot of risks there. There is a lot of time there. It's not just instant.
Well, with anything where there's a large outlay of cash or risk, I mean, you should be doing your homework and spending enough time to validate whether that's whether that's actually a good choice for you and your family, right? Like, so some of this is also getting buy-in. If you're personally funding it, you got to have buy-in from your spouse or, you know, that's sometimes a tough conversation to get both people on board and at the same level of able to accept the same level of risk.
So setting realistic expectations, I think, is absolutely key as you go out there. So realistic profit margins. You know, if you're going to spin your wheels and just waste a ton of your own time if you don't have realistic expectations on your profit margins, you know. Being careful and cognitive of what resale objections are and as you're searching. So I remember when I first got into this, after I'd flipped a few homes, but was an agent and I started going through other people's flips, I remember finding that two-bedroom house that had a really strange layout. That was just like it was on a busy road with a railroad track behind it. You know, it just had everything wrong going for it.
And I'm seeing a lot of that right now with the limited inventory that we have, and especially in the median home price area in suburbs around St. Paul in particular, where I'm seeing a lot of flips with big resale objections. Homes that look really great, but then you pull them up on the map and they're a block and a half away from a train, railroad tracks. And the train runs twice a day, early in the morning and later at night. Beautiful home, stands out in the neighborhood. Everything's been remodeled in it, but huge resale objection. I'm seeing a lot of homes
that I'll take a block and a half. I won't take two houses away.
I'm also seeing a lot of homes near commercial buildings that being rehabbed. You know, right next to, you know, well, I won't say this.
Like empty lots and you know, just warehouses and things like that. Yeah, you're right.
Well, right, people are picking up these ones that tend to be the first to go down in value.
Yeah. But there may be, if you can buy them at the right price, you know, in a market that we're in now, if you can evaluate that resale objection, it might play less of a...
Right. Well, the whole thing is understanding it and evaluating for it, right? So it's not that you shouldn't buy a home that has a resale objection. It's making sure that you're putting the proper reduction into your purchase cost and then obviously your resale cost because it's going to be there.
Right.
And that's where I see a lot of people on that first go around make that mistake. And you're dealing with a busy road. That could be a $20,000 shift from one street to another. That $20,000, that was the profit. And if you didn't account for it, you know, you might be out.
Or you thought you could override it with a nicer kitchen or something, which is just not going to happen.
That's how you blow
your budget.
Exactly. Well, and this gets into, you know, making sure that you see where is the profit, okay? An analogy that I go to is, you know, when you go buy a car, right, and you see a car, you get into the car and you expect it to start and run and drive well. Right? You know, unless it's already put down, has problems, does not run, right? But you expect that. When a person buys a house, they expect the furnace to work and they expect the plumbing to work. So if you put $10,000 into plumbing upgrades and you bought a new furnace, yeah, it's a nice thing you did. Good job. But you're not getting your $10,000 back out of it typically, right? You make your money on the cosmetics and your square footage and things like that. So the question is, where is the profit? Can you gain space by finishing something off in the attic? Can you add a bedroom? Can you add finished square feet in the basement? And if you do add finished square feet in the basement, is it viable? Or are you talking about like 6-foot ceilings that are down there?
You know, and we've brought up the marketing of the property as well. And I'd like to get your input on this, Kirk. You are pretty good at marketing properties. You know, on the flip, you're trying to maximize your profit. What do you think about having the temperature down to like 50 degrees when it's, you know, 10 degrees outside?
Yeah, not a good idea. I was just through one yesterday.
Having the hot water, having the hot water turned off, yeah. Or having the water turned off in general.
Mm-hmm. No, the amount of money that a flipper or just a regular homeowner is going to cost themselves by thinking, oh, we're going to save $300 on utility bills or $100 on utility bills. They're probably costing themselves in the multi-thousands in the sale mm-hmm. price. You know, there is no positive return by turning the heat way down.
Instantly, people get inside and they
just want to leave. Their feet are cold. First of all, they think there might be a problem mm-hmm. with the furnace. Is it not working correctly? Mm-hmm. But, you know, so one of the big things, we only got a couple minutes left and probably way more show to go through. But, you know, this balance of quality over profit. We go through a lot of flipped homes by many different mm-hmm. flippers. And I go back to that. Only one in four that I see, I would say, are done mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. right? You need to sit there and go, well, what's the quality that I'm going to put in? I went into a property the other day. Actually, my client bid on it. I think we got a pretty good value out of it. But the investor who bought it way overpaid, not for only the property, but then the cost of the contractors to do the work. He lost about $30,000 off of his budget planning. You know, goes back to that team. Didn't have the right team. But, you know, he saw the equity, and I'm going to paint the walls. I'm going to redo the deck boards, put down some vinyl, and resell it for $40,000 more. That's really not the way that it goes, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe if set the expectations a little better, they could have budgeted it. But you see how easily you can lose a lot of money mm-hmm. as an investor out there.
I think the second you start thinking that the buyer who's going to buy your flip is dumber than you are is when you run into trouble. Like
right,
seriously,
right.
Don't cheap out. They're going to know. And so don't cheap out on that. And that's how I
you need to budget to put out a decent product right. that people are going to like, and that's good.
Right.
You know, you need to be prepared to do some of those behind the wall updates as well to make
Absolutely.
It good, because it's not going to make it through inspection otherwise.
Right.
So mm-hmm. yeah, just like you said, if you think you're going to outsmart the buyers, you're probably not.
Right.
All right. Well, hopefully you found the show valuable. If you have any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. We'll be back again in a couple weeks.